ॐ ध्यायामोदकलावकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गी मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We're going to discuss the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is titled Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga. So generally karma, the word karma and the word karma yoga is what is being misinterpreted by most of the people. So many people just do their responsibility, do their duty, and then they say that they are doing karma yoga. They are more attracted to karma yoga. Like if you ask certain disciples of Amma, they'll say, I am more suited to karma. I am more suited to doing karma yoga. The difference or the advantage that such people have, disciples of Amma have, is that they are staying with Amma, therefore offering automatically comes. Therefore, it indirectly becomes a karma yoga, but majority of us think that we are doing karma yoga. We need to do karma, we cannot get away from karma, we have to do karma and offer it. All those views we generally have, but all those views are proved wrong by Krishna in this particular chapter. So karma, it is like, it is for an initial seeker that it is said that offer all karma, do all karma. Many people might say, okay, I am more towards doing karma. I'll do karma and then remembering Ishvara. I don't need to do any sadhana. Sorry. I don't need to do any sadhana. I won't do any sadhana. Instead, all my karma will become sadhana. And they'll quote Krishna as well and say, Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat juhoshi. Dadavasi yat yat tapasyasi kaundeya tat gurushvamadarpanam. So they'll quote Krishna as well to support them, justify them. But we have to remember as to what that particular type of action or offering everything onto Ishvara, such an action in which we offer everything to Ishvara, will that directly take us to the goal? Or will it just help us in the path? Both are completely different. So we need to have sadhana. Sadhana that makes us remember the reality. So sadhana itself can be split into two. Tapas and swadhyayam. So tapas is austerity or things we do for purification of mind. So rather than doing any action and trying to offer it to Ishvara, if we can directly do an Ishvara Puja, it will have more fruit, more effect. That is the reason why, like, we can do multiple things at the same time. We can drive a car, at the same time we can chant to a person as well. And maybe like with another hand, we can also type something in our BlackBerry or laptop. But the efficiency will be more if we are doing one action one at a time. If we are 100% involved in an action, the output also will be more. So it's fine to say that, okay, I will do all actions remembering Ishvara, but the efficiency will be less. If a person is able to do it perfectly, then he doesn't need to learn or do anything in life, because immediately he becomes a realized saint, which is not the case. Therefore, we have to do tapas or actions which help us, or in which like we are 100% involved in Chitta Shuddhi, involved in Nishkama Karmam. But that alone is not enough. Like Krishna would have said, like Yat Karoshi, Yat Ashnasi and all. But he also goes on to explain as to how such a person realizes. So such a person doesn't realize automatically. Realization doesn't dawn upon a person who does karma. But instead, this state of offering everything onto Ishvara takes us to the next level. The level where we don't have any ego. The level where we get detached from the BMI, our body, mind, intellect, as well as ego. We get detached from it. The moment we detach from it, we realize the futility of actions. We realize that everything that we see is an illusion. If it is an illusion, actions also can give only illusory fruits. Therefore, we understand the futility of actions. Thereby, because of this understanding, all actions happen automatically. It doesn't matter what action happens, but we know internally that it is an illusion. Therefore, we are not affected by it. That is the state which we will be achieving, either through offering everything on to Ishvara or through analysis, intellectual analysis as to what is real and what is not real. But a person who offers on to Ishvara, he will also be made to know this knowledge. Ishvara himself will ensure Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya matparaha ananyeneiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate tesham aham samudharta mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami nachirat partamai aveshita chedasam. O Krishna, after Arjuna asks Krishna as to whether saguna bhaktas are greater or nirguna bhaktas are greater. So Krishna says, saguna bhaktas are dear to me, but nirguna bhaktas directly achieve me. Does that mean saguna bhaktas don't achieve? No, they also achieve by my help. I am their savior. That means a person who is doing offering, he will automatically be made to know this knowledge, be aware of this knowledge, thereby coming to the state of egoless state, or the state where you get detached from everything. You remain the Sakshi, you remain that Sakshi who alone is present. So both, whether we offer it to Ishvara in the path of devotion, or whether we have knowledge of Ishvara, like internally we know that I am a Sakshi Ishvara and therefore we are not affected by karma, both ways it will, like, one leads to the other. The path of offering leads us to the path of becoming a witness, because without knowledge, in both cases, knowledge about futility of karma is essential. A person who is offering actions onto Amma, but he doesn't know, he doesn't recognize, or he doesn't apprehend this truth that action is an illusion, such a person will never realize, he will never feel content with life. So we can find many such devotees among, like, Sai Baba devotees or Amma devotees or Sri Sri Ravi Shankar devotees. We can find many devotees, not just there, like we can even find in Chinmaya Mission such devotees, like devotees who are devoted, who offer, but they don't know what is offering, they don't know whom they are offering to. So they may be offering everything, but still that doesn't give them peace, because they don't know why this offering, they don't know the truth that is to be achieved through this offering. So offering is just a way, an alternative way for people who are not endowed with strong intellect to think, to understand the reality behind the illusory world, the reality behind karma. So that is why such things are meant. So a person will not be able to completely do that until he has knowledge about Ishvara, until he knows futility of karma. If he doesn't know futility of karma, then he'll offer to Ishvara but somehow get affected by the fruit, because he considers it as real. So that's the reason why Balakrishna and others emphasize on Jnanam. So even when we are offering, if we can have the knowledge that everything is an illusion in Ishvara, immediately it will give us the fruit of Anandam. But majority of us will think, okay, it's not possible. So we need to have tapas. Tapas means 100% doing offering, doing actions which purify our mind. Once actions purify the mind, then we need to have swadhyayam, we need to have learning or scriptural knowledge. We need to learn from a proper person, then our pure mind will be able to apprehend the truth behind knowledge, the truth in the scripture, which is Advaitiya Brahman. That's how it happens. And before entering into the chapter, it's very important to analyze or understand karma. What is karma? So karma, we are well aware of as to how karma is caused. Karma comes out of kamam, kamam comes out of avidya. So karma is an illusion. So that is like knowing karma. In many places in this particular chapter, in the third chapter, Krishna will speak about karma as very tough to understand and all. So all those can be interpreted normally. Paramartha or Shankara would be interpreting it normally, but we have to go one step further. If it has to make sense, if we have to do karma yoga, we have to go a step further in understanding it. Going a step further is trying to not speak about karma as such, but find out as to what is karma. Find out where karma stands in the world, where karma stands beside Brahman. So when comparing with Brahman, where does karma stand? So if we are able to understand karma clearly, then it becomes karma yoga. It becomes karma yoga because we have yogam in karma. So karma yogam means yogam in karma. Means like we have knowledge about karma, therefore we have samabhavana, samabuddhi, samadarshanam in karma. So karma itself assumes lot of things. Karma assumes karta, karanam, adhishthanam, devam, and all these factors. It assumes all these factors and phalam. So many things are involved in karma. So if that means like karma itself is based on dvaitam. But still, if we need to have yogam of karma, we need to have samabhavana, samabuddhi. That means how can we have samabuddhi? Okay, samabuddhi in the entire world is possible because world is pervaded by Brahman. But how about karma? So samabuddhi in karma means we need to understand, we need to know that karma is an illusion. The knowledge that karma is jadam, karma kim param, karma tat jadam. That is what is karma yoga. So samabuddhi means being aware of karma. So we have only two things here with respect to karma. When we analyze in karma, we have two distinct things here. So one is karma and the other is Brahman or Jnanam. So we have karma, which is based on avidya, and we have Jnanam or Brahman, which is based on vidya or knowledge. So if we are able to understand this much, then we will very easily be able to overcome karma. The next step would be to find out how to overcome this avidya karma, mithya karma, how to overcome it. But overcome is very easily possible if we know its nature. So the moment we know that there is no water in desert, we know, we are aware of the nature of water, it's almost overcome. The trouble or sorrows that we will face from water and desert is automatically overcome because knowledge about an illusion is also very important, or it's material in taking us beyond the illusion. So karma is mithya, Brahman is real or sat. So this we should always remember, that karma, what karma tat jadam, karma is jadam, jadam means it is mithya. Brahman alone is real, is Sat. So if we are able to understand this much, then this entire chapter is done. So if karma is mithya, then how should I overcome? Okay, there are many ways to overcome. You can follow any way. It doesn't matter. If you know it is mithya, you have like 50% you have overcome. The next is just implementation. And a person who knows water in desert, who knows the reality behind water in desert, it will automatically be implemented. He will not run behind water because he knows that it is real. So implementation automatically happens if we are strengthened about the illusory nature of water in desert. Similarly, if we know about karma, karma is jadam, karma is limited, karma is mithya, that's it. We don't need anything else. Mithya karma and satya brahman, that's it. If we remember these two, then this entire chapter of Karma Yoga is completed. But still, Krishna, being the compassionate master, gives us different ways, different perspectives of implementing this. So this entire chapter of Karma Yoga is as to how we can implement this, how we can implement Mithya Karma in our life. So that is what this entire chapter discusses. So two basic paths, like ways we have already discussed, one is offering to Ishvara and the other is intellectually analyzing and convincing that, okay, I am not the Karta, I am Sakshi. I cannot be one with karma, I am the Sakshi. So offering to Ishvara means, oh Ishvara, I am offering everything on to you. I don't want anything, I am offering it. So that offering also, what that offering does is, that offering takes us to the state of Sakshi Bhavam. Why Sakshi Bhavam? Sakshi Bhavam because we are not associated in any way. We or I as the Karta, I as the Bhokta is not associated in any way with the karma because we have offered everything. Even after offering everything, there is the offerer. The person who is offering is, he still remains behind. We cannot offer the offerer as well. So the offerer or not to get confused, this offerer is not the ego, because ego we already offer. But the person who witnesses this offering, he still remains behind. So when we offer everything onto Ishvara, then a Sakshi remains behind. The Sakshi, based on whom offering happened, he remains behind. That means when we offer everything to Ishvara, we automatically are taken to the state of Sakshi. But the state of Sakshi also will not be useful as long as we don't understand that what we are experiencing is an illusion. What we are witnessing is an illusion. So many people will be following this Sakshi Bhavam. I go to office, I think like I am Sakshi. I do things as if I am a witness. But I don't get any peace. I don't get any bliss. That is because Sakshi Bhavam, with respect to Sakshi, the next knowledge we need to have is whatever I am witnessing is an illusion. So Sakshi, whatever the Sakshi is witnessing is not real witnessing, but real experiences. Those are illusions. So if we know that, then we'll instantly realize that Sadhyo Mukti. That very moment, we will realize that we are blissful Brahman. So that is offering. So offering also takes us to the Sakshi Bhavam. Or we can directly, oh, I don't need an Ishvara, I don't need to assume Ishvara, because Ishvara is all pervasive, I don't need to assume it, therefore I'll do it myself. I'll think that, okay, I am the Sakshi, I'm not affected by actions, I am the Sakshi, let the ego do everything, I'll be the Sakshi. And remembering that, okay, I am the Sakshi who witnesses everything, that is an illusion. So it is also important to remember the part of illusion, everything being an illusion, because if that is not there, then we will be able to do all these things, like we will be offering everything to Ishvara, but still we will be deluded in the world. So we will think we are offering everything to Amma, we are offering everything to Ishvara, but still then we will end up marrying, we will end up doing things like which we don't want to do. We will still end up doing it, saying that, okay, I am offering. So that is the escapism. It's not implemented there. If we know something is not useful for us in the spiritual path, a person who is following either offering or Sakshi Bhavam, he will immediately say, okay, this is not helping me, therefore I won't do it. So that is the state, the real state of a person who is really following these both of these, either of these. If we are not following either of these, really, then we will be able to, like, we will be just justifying. We will say, okay, I'll do this, I'll do that. It's fine if I marry as well. It's fine if I am in the world. If it's fine if I help my parents. And also, all those things will be there in our mind if we are doing that. So that shouldn't be the case. But these two ways of implementing Mithya Karma and Satya Brahman is like termed as Pravritti and Nivritti. So Pravritti Margam, Nivritti Margam. Ideally, those are not Margam. We cannot call them as Margam, because Pravritti Margam takes us to the Nivritti Margam. indirectly it takes us to the Nivritti Margam, and Nivritti Margam takes us to the to realization along with the knowledge about Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Leave out Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya from it. Brahma Satyam Jagat is Karma. So Karma Lokam, Krishna himself, Karma Loki. In the 15th chapter he speaks about Manishya Lokam as Karmam, Karma Lokam. So that my Jagat itself is Karma. So if we don't remember Brahma Satyam and Karma is Mithya, if we don't remember that, then even following Sakshi Bhavam will not give us the fruit. So that is also important. So Pravritti Margam will indirectly or directly take us to the Nivritti Margam and indirectly take us to the goal of Moksha along with the knowledge that Karma is Mithya. So if we are able to remember this, that Karma is Mithya, it's not karma that I have to overcome. Karma is mithya. That's end of topic. If we are able to remember that, then we will find out ways to overcome this mithya karma. If karma is mithya, then I don't need to do. Ooh, Krishna has said in the third chapter, Nahi kaschit chanam api jatu tishtatya karma krit. You cannot remain for a single moment without doing action. Then how do you say that karma is mithya and you don't need to do action? It's up to an individual. The moment I say I am not the Sakshi, the moment I say this world is an illusion, there is no karma, there is no Krishna himself to speak about all this. So that means all those are like for normal initial seekers. So initial seekers who cannot understand or apprehend the truth of karma is mithya, for them like norm gradually taking them. Okay, you don't need to know karma is mithya, but just do these two paths. Then you will automatically realize that karma is mithya. But if we are able to, first itself, if we are able to understand, apprehend that karma is mithya and then go forward, what is better than that? That is the best way to follow. So we have to remember that karma is mithya. Though Krishna, any person might say that, okay, we can follow this, you can follow karma marga, karma yoga, you can do nishkama karmam, you can do naishkarmyam and all those. Let it be anyone who says that, but still, karma is mithya. That is the basis for this entire chapter. Karma is mithya. If we know karma is mithya and implement it in life, that is called karma yoga. Automatically, we overcome karma. We not only overcome karma, that is knowledge as well. If karma is mithya, there should be something which is satyam, that is Brahman. That means we have knowledge as well. So that knowledge along with this nature of karma will immediately give us moksha. So that is the crux of this entire chapter. This entire chapter can be put into like two words of karmam mithya, mithya karma, or karmam mithya. Karmam is mithya. That is the basis of this entire chapter. If we understand that, then karma, everything about karma is like understood, and it's all, karma automatically becomes overcome. Gradually, it will be overcome, because immediately a person might not be able to implement it. Therefore, depending on the speed of implementation, the level of implementation, we will not realize it, but gradually we will realize. Uishwar Arpitam Naichaya Kratam. Ramana Maharshi also says karma leads us to moksha. So he doesn't say karma leads us to moksha. Mukti Sadakam. He only says it leads to mukti. It helps us in mukti. That is different from it gives us mukti. Helping in mukti is different from giving mukti. Karma can never give us moksha because it is mithya, because it is jadam. And Ramana Maharshi there is giving one of the pravarti margam of offering everything onto Ishvara. That is what he is giving, and that is fine. So remembering this aspect of karma, or karma to be mithya, karma to be mithya and illusion in Brahman, we'll start the chapter starting tomorrow. Hari Om.